As a church, we've been looking at a series called Six Functions of Church. You know, what is church? What does church do? What's church about? And of course, church is about Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him, our worship of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our relationship with Him. It's also about our relationship with others. And through study of the scriptures, we've kind of narrowed down six things that I think are important for every church to understand and that every church practices and should focus on practicing. Six things, not in order of importance, are worship, prayer, fellowship, the ministry of the Word of God, encounters with the Holy Spirit, and mission and or service. They're not in order of importance. In fact, they all kind of go together. They all work together. At this point in time, we've looked at prayer, we've looked at worship, we've looked at fellowship. And during this period of time, we're looking at the significance, the importance of the ministry of the Word of God, the role that the inspired Word plays in our lives. And we're going to be looking at a passage from 2 Timothy shortly. But as I said, I'm just going to share the introduction this morning. This function, the ministry of the Word of God, is foundational and crucial for the life of God's people. And what we've celebrated today, the word that we celebrated is taken from Scripture. Love the Lord your God with your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We're instructed to do that by Scripture. And when we walk it out and when it has a place in our lives, when it bears fruit in our lives, it makes a huge difference in the world that we live in and certainly in the life of the church that we're a part of. So I just want to take a few minutes to introduce a message called Inspired and Profitable. We are told in 2 Corinthians 3 that the Word of God is inspired, and that word is God breathed, and that it is profitable for correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. Every New Testament church, every church that follows Jesus Christ must have a respect for, an honor for, a love for, and give a place of paramount importance to the Word of God. That means in our life personally, that means in our life corporately, that means when we meet together, when we make decisions, when we pray together, when we worship together, we need to understand that it is the Scripture that shapes how we move forward. The Scripture really is, it is God-breathed. It's the record of what God has done in the life of His people throughout the centuries. And that's why we value it, because it tells us about God. Through it, we are told, we encounter God by His Spirit. He brings it to life to us. And we heard from Sue Cook last week about hearing the voice of God. And the week before, we said God speaks to us in many ways. He's constantly speaking. Through natural means, through the created order, through our own personal makeup. But especially He has spoken to us in these last days, we are told, by the book of Hebrews, through His Son Jesus Christ. And His Son is revealed to us in this God-breathed Word. The Scriptures, we are told, are able to make us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. It's the Scriptures that inform our relationship with the Lord. And so they have to be really foundational, the rule of faith for us as a church. Now there's a problem. There's a problem because as people made in the image of God, as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we are made to have fellowship with God. But the problem is this, we are fallen. And so the manner in which we have fellowship with God becomes distorted. We find ways to have fellowship with God that are not the ways that God has ordained, ways that are somehow defective. John Calvin said, the heart is an idol factory. In other words, we make our own gods and we worship our own gods and we worship things that make us what we think will make us happy. But what the Scripture teaches us is that God has ordained, God has revealed Himself to us in Christ and has a way that He wants to be worshiped. So throughout our experience, we have encounters informed by the Word of God with God in spirit and in truth, but we also see human beings making effort to worship God that are essentially counterfeit. That's what I want to spend just the last few minutes talking about today. Any of you looked at your money lately? Here's what, I'm not giving this away, but I will show it to you. It's a 20. It doesn't look like it used to, okay? The pictures are a lot bigger. There are a lot more watermarks on there, a lot more little designs on there. There's a kind of a metal strip here with some really cryptic writing on it and all sorts of little hidden things. Why is all that stuff on there? Stuff is on there for a very simple reason. Money gets counterfeited. And the more complicated and elaborate it is, the harder it is to counterfeit. And if you go around the world and you use money, you know that American dollars are almost always taken and passed through a machine in order to see if it's genuine or not. I am told, I have heard, that in order to know the genuine article, that is, in order to spot a counterfeit, rather, it is important to know the genuine article really well. In other words, someone who's seeking to spot counterfeits needs to know what the real thing really looks like in order to determine whether this is real or not. And so it is with our spirituality. There is a lot of counterfeit spirituality out there. It's all over. It proliferates. It is constant. And in order for us to be rooted and grounded into the truth, we need to know the genuine article as well as we possibly can so that when a counterfeit comes, we do not get blown away. We don't get tossed aside. We don't get moved by every wind and wave of doctrine, but we are growing up into our faith. And that is the role of the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, in our lives. This is not a new problem for the day in which we live. It is an issue that has always existed in the life of the church. We see it, for instance, this will not be on the overhead, but we see it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 6 and 7. Here's what I read. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "If you put these things, these truths, before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." Paul is saying to Timothy, what you believe and what you teach is important. We don't just hold on to anything that comes along that sounds like a good idea, but we must be trained in the words of faith. And then he goes on to say, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." Further on in that same passage in verse 11, here is what Paul says to Timothy. "Command and teach these things." He's talking about the simple truths of the gospel. He says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity." Because that's the effect that the Word of God is supposed to have in our lives, supposed to change the way we live. So a healthy relationship with the Word brings a healthy life, brings a healthy disciple, brings a healthy church. He says, "Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." This is a very important part of Timothy's role. And down in verse 16, he says, "Keep close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." Paul made a big deal about what was declared to the church as being the true faith. We need to make a big deal of that. We need to understand that the foundation of our faith is the God-breathed, God-revealed Scripture preserved for us as he spoke to and through the prophets throughout the ages. And every spiritual experience we have is brought to that touchstone to determine its validity or whether indeed it may be counterfeit. He goes on to say in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verses 3 to 5, he says to Timothy, "Teach and urge these things." Again, it's about what is taught about the doctrine that is believed and embraced. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. You see the fruit, it's bad. And constant friction among people of depraved mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So this issue of the true word and of the counterfeit word has always been an issue in the life of the church, and that issue has not gone away. Just because we've been around for a couple of millennia, just because we have a lot of technological advances, scientific knowledge, and many improvements as far as our conveniences and our abilities, it does not change the fact that there are still counterfeits out there spiritually, and that our faith rests on the solid foundation of that which has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ and preserved for us in the Word of God, both Old and New Testaments. And we as a church are committed to the divine authority of the Scripture. That doesn't mean we always live up to what we see, but that is what we strive for, that is what we desire, and that's what we're committed to. That's where it starts. Well, we see it continues, and this is on the overhead. Paul tells Timothy in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 to 18. This is the fourth exhortation now in the Timothy epistles to Timothy about the Scriptures. So do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do you think this is important to Paul? He keeps coming back to this issue, rightly handling the word of truth. Avoid irreverent babble. It will lead people into more and more ungodliness. That is the counterfeit, okay? Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying the resurrection has passed already. They're upsetting the faith of some. So you see, a false belief, a false teaching upsets the faith. It turns people away from being true disciples of Jesus Christ and following him as we are called to do. And then finally, I would look at this passage in chapter 4 of 1 through 5. You can thank God this is the introduction because I haven't even come to the text for the day. And I'll just be sharing the introduction with you this morning. But this is the passage just after the passage that is actually our text. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. He is talking about the revelation, the God-inspired truth that has been given to the church through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and now is preserved for us forever in the inspired word. Now, I will talk in the weeks to come about the role of the Holy Spirit in inspiring our utterance and inspiring prophecy and inspiring things to us that we couldn't know any other way. But what I want to do is lay an absolute foundation. We understand every experience that we have must be taken to the touchstone, the testing place of is it confirmed or is it denied? Is this kind of experience confirmed or denied by what is revealed in the Scripture of truth? There's a lot in here. There are miracles. There are prophecies. There are dreams. There are visions. There are healings. But there are true and there are false experiences of this nature. And the only way we can determine and rightly divide the genuine from the counterfeit is to know the genuine thoroughly and completely. And the only way to do that is to be thoroughly steeped in and understand the teaching of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures of God. And that's why they will always be a central part of our life as a congregation, as we seek to worship him and to follow him, they will be regarded and embraced, and to the extent that we're able, followed. But only by his grace can we actually do that. So anyhow, he says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with complete patience and teaching. But the time is coming when there's going to be counterfeits everywhere. People will not endure sound teaching. Having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That was true in Paul's time. It is true in our time. Counterfeit, distorted spirituality is a problem in every age, and its antidote is to know the genuine article extremely well, to interact with it, and to encounter the person who has breathed it, that is the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Trinity, to encounter him through that scripture so that all of our beliefs, all of our practices, all of our experiences can be judged on this touchstone of truth, which is God's inspired word, God-breathed and profitable. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of the evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Following Christ, we are told in Scripture, will not be easy. It will make demands of us. It may even, or perhaps even often, call us to suffer and to persevere when we don't want to. But that is the genuine article, is worth that struggle to hold fast to. A counterfeit will feed areas of your spirit that seems pleasant, but actually it's just cotton candy. It's going to rot your gut at some point in time. That's why we have to be careful. Well, that's the introduction. What is the antidote to counterfeits? The genuine article. I exhort you, I call you to cultivate an appreciation of this word, to give yourself to interacting with this word and to understanding the role that it's intended to play in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I am just going to cut and paste the memo we sent out this week. For this week's message, please read 1 Timothy 3:10-17. That's for next week now. So we didn't get to the text today, but I think we got where we wanted to be. To avoid the counterfeit, you must know and embrace what the genuine article. And that genuine article will lead you to faith and confidence and relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's stand up.